You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What a win. Welcome in to a happy post-game episode of Locked On Rockets. I'm your host, Ben Dubose of Sports Talk 790. Rockets have just polished off a 130-114 win in Portland. No one's trying to make out the Blazers to be a super team. They're 9-10 now, even though they were projected to be a mid-tier Western Conference playoff team. They clearly have flaws on the defensive end. But yet again, as in Sacramento, you have to give the Rockets credit for being ready at the jump and taking advantage of a team with their clear weaknesses. Rockets outscored Portland 34-21 in the fourth quarter, and even though it was a three-point game heading into the fourth, it felt like whenever this game was reasonably close, every time the Blazers would cut this to 1, 2, 3 points, the Rockets pushed back with a run to get it back to 8, 9, 10, eventually won this game by 16 points. Now, granted, the Rockets probably overachieved by any standard. Shot 56% from the field today, 47% from three. That's not going to happen against air that often. So some of it's not just the Blazers being a poor defensive team and the Rockets executing that well offensively. Certainly this was just a good night shooting overall. But beyond that, give the Rockets credit. They came out with the right attitude attacking. I said on the pregame show that this was a game, knowing the Blazers' deficiencies in the defensive end, that this made sense for James Harden to be more of an attacker. And that's exactly what we saw. We know James struggled a bit from the field the last two games. Tonight, 38 points, 50% shooting, 10 assists. This was the James Harden that we saw before the last week, before the struggles of Detroit, Toronto, and Sacramento. He really attacked tonight, and that's a big reason why the Rockets were such a good offensive team tonight. It's not just a matter that they made threes. It's that you had a more aggressive James Harden that knew the Blazers could not check him on the perimeter. He got to the rim, and that made life easier for Clint Capella, who had a career-high 21 points. It also made life easier for the shooters, who made shots at an unreal rate because they were so wide open. Let's just go down the list tonight. Eric Gordon, 9 of 15 off the bench, 6 of 9 from 3. Trevor Ariza, 6 of 7, 4 of 5 from 3. Ryan Anderson, 5 of 7, 2 of 4 from 3. By the way, let's give Ryan a little bit of credit. Yes, he shot 2 of 4 for 3, but him being 5 of 7, that also tells you that he was 3 of 3 inside the arc. That's always a welcome development. Sam Decker was 2 of 5. Really, about the only guy that did not connect was Pat Beverly, who was 0 of 5, 0 of 3 from behind the arc, and you can certainly chalk that up to him being busy defending the likes of Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum most of the night. By and large, this was an excellent night for the Rockets. Sure, they overachieved shooting a little bit, but you know what? They won by 16, so they didn't have to make all of those shots. Also, you give the Blazers some credit. Evan Turner was 6 of 12 from the field, including 2 of 4 from 3. How often do you think that happens? Alan Crabb, 2 of 3 from distance. CJ McCollum, 9 of 19. Maurice Harkless, 7 of 12, 2 of 4 from 3. This was not... Damian Lillard did not play his best game, but a lot of the Blazers' role players overachieved. So this isn't a game where you say, well, the Rockets shot the lights out. If it was normal, then would they win this game? The Blazers overachieved a little bit too. And then even when you factor in that, the Rockets won by 16 points. So there's a lot of wiggle room where even if Ryan Anderson and Trevor Ariza miss a shot or two, if Eric Gordon doesn't score 26 points off the bench, 9 of 15 shooting, the Rockets can still win that game comfortably by 7 or 8 points. The way I would describe it, the Rockets were clearly the better team. As I said leading off, every time that the Blazers made a run to get it down to 1, 2, 3 points, it seemed like the Rockets had the answer. And as in Sacramento, that's just a sign of a mature team. I know the Blazers had expectations, but at this point, you know what their weaknesses are. I said on the road trip preview that this was one where the Rockets, if they wanted to go 3-2 on this road trip and get back to Houston at 12-8, a 600 team, this was one they probably needed to get. And to their credit, they did. They exploited the Blazers for their weaknesses, just as you saw James Harden, probably a little tentative given the bigs he's faced the last week, the likes of Andre Drummond. DeMarcus Cousins, Jonas Valanciunas. You saw a much more aggressive James Harden attacking the rim tonight. And so James Harden, the scorer, 38 points on 11 of 22 shooting, returned. Really, the Rockets, you could tell they were well coached. Mike D'Antoni knew exactly how he wanted to approach this Portland team. And really, it felt like a reverse of the Rockets games from a year ago. Portland right now, with the deficiencies they have on the defensive end, they feel like the Rockets we watched in the 2015-2016 season, in which no matter how much Damian Lillard or CJ McCollum might can make an impressive play offensively, you know they're going to give it up on the other end. And the key, if you're a team like the Rockets, is to never get down on yourself. Just keep attacking. And that's what the Rockets did in this 130-114 win, which moved them to 11-6 on the season, entering the last three games of this West Coast road trip. Besides the obvious, we've touched on the shooting. We've touched on James Harden, his 38 points and 10 assists. Really, another strong game from Clint Capella. 21 points, career high, 9 rebounds in his 33 minutes, going up against Mason Plumlee. And this is what you want to see from him. A lot over the past week, we've seen Clint against the big defensive guys in the league. And he's held his own. But when he's not playing an Andre Drummond, that doesn't mean it's necessarily easier. One thing that Portland does really well with Lillard and McCollum, they attack the rim relentlessly. They are just so aggressive, and they make it so easy to rack up fouls in a hurry if you are a big man. So I saw so many drives where the Blazers took it right at Capella, and to his credit, he did not foul. Capella played 33 minutes against a very drive-happy team, committed just 3 fouls. He was so good at contesting without fouling, and that's part of his evolution. It's not just being physical to play Andre Drummond and DeMarcus Cousins, whatever big man you want to throw out there, Steven Adams, straight up. It's also having the discipline that even when he has an advantage, as he did tonight against Plumlee, to still make sure that he does not pick up easy fouls and, you know, sideline himself from being too aggressive, from getting too happy. And that's what you saw from Clint tonight with his 21 points, 9 rebounds, and above all else, staying on the floor. And above all else, you give credit to him for being coachable. I pointed this out on Twitter, and several people said, what a huge change, because the Clint Capella we knew as a rookie, as a second-year guy, was so foul-happy. And the thing with Clint, I've said it all year long, he is such a coachable player. And the more I watch NBA basketball, the more I'm convinced that that is such an underrated skill. You can have all the athleticism in the world, but if you think that you know more than the coaches, if you're going to freelance, if you're not going to play within your system, within what the coaches are telling you to do, then that erodes some of your advantages. With Clint, fouling was a weakness for him. Yet you can see every game he's getting better. He's a clearly better player than he was a month ago, let alone a year ago. And we haven't even talked about his free throws. He was 3 for 4 from the line, including 2 of 2, both swishes down the stretch to help put Portland away. I don't know if Clint Capella is a true potential star-level player. To get there beyond just the athleticism and his defense, he would need to develop more of a post-up game. But in terms of being a really good NBA player for a long time, a starting center for the next 10 years, yes, he can absolutely be that guy, because it's not just the athleticism. It's not just, you know, a league that's trending smaller. He works that hard. He runs the pick and roll until his legs are ready to fall off. And whatever the coaches tell him, and not fouling has been emphasis, that's what he does. If he needs to get tougher, which is what he needs to do against the likes of Steven Adams and DeMarcus Cousins, then you could see the work he did in the weight room in those games. Beyond all else, as I've said many times, big picture, Clint is a much better player now than he was when the season tipped off in October. I think that's clear to everybody, and if that's true in late November, just imagine what we might be saying in late December and late January. This is fun, guys. Part of the, what makes a team like the Rockets so enjoyable is that it's not just low expectations. They might get even better. You've got cheap, young options like Clint Capella and Sam Decker that can potentially be starters for you for a long time. So it's not just about today. The more Clint Capella and Sam Decker make plays like we've been seeing them make over the past month, the more it makes you bullish about their future, too, because that's two starting quality players you can put around James Harden next year at a very low cost. Now, beyond this game, which was, as stated, a easy 130-114 win over Portland, took control in the fourth quarter.
Hi, this is Maury Moreland Morrison, here to tell you GEICO has more than just great savings. Much more. GEICO's been around for more than 75 years, back when they were using Morse code. Sorry, that's just my sense of humor. What's more, with GEICO, you get 24/7 access to licensed agents on the app, online, or over the phone, so you can talk to them at night or in the morning. So forevermore, just know that no other auto insurer has more than GEICO. More power to you. GEICO. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.
It's especially big because of how this road trip sets up. If you want a full preview of this five-game road trip, Rockets now 2-0 with the wins over Sacramento and Portland. You can listen to the prior podcast. Right now, they're 2-0 and three games upcoming at Utah, at Golden State, at Denver. I'd say the Rockets probably underdogs two of those games, definitely underdogs at Golden State. I'd say they're probably a slight underdog at Utah as well, a favorite at Denver, but it's certainly not easy because it's the second night of a back-to-back. My main thing, I said it in the prior show, Rockets are going to have to be very careful with that Golden State game. If you truly have a shot to win, then yes, you have to go for it. But let's be reasonable. The Rockets are not going to sit James Harden. They're not going to sit their regulars. This is not Greg Popovich and the Spurs. But if it's a game where they're kind of on the fringes of being in it, 10, 15 points, I would like to see Mike D'Antoni be a little more aggressive and potentially saving his regulars for that game in Denver on Friday night, the second game of back-to-back. Because if the Rockets can get to 3-2 on this road trip, or God forbid, 4-1 if they can steal that game in Utah, if they can get to 3-2 or 4-1, you are looking at coming home after 20 games at 12-8 or better. In other words, being a .600 team or better with 14 of your first 20 being on the road. 600 is kind of the baseline. We wanted the Rockets' best-case scenario to be a 50-win team, which basically means being a .600 squad. If you win 50 games, .600 team, you're probably a 4 or 5 seed. Right now, you're ahead of that pace. As someone pointed out to me tonight, they're on pace to win 53 games. So you could easily exceed that if you continue to overachieve on this road trip. But reasonably, Utah's going to be a tough game. Golden State's going to be a really tough game. Get out of this at 3-2, maybe 4-1 if a few breaks go your way. And so you need to maximize your chances to do that, which means focusing on that Denver game Friday night when Golden State gets here. Certainly, you'll give it a run against the Warriors, and if things look great, you'll play them. But you do need to have a big picture mindset. As Mike D'Antoni has said, these games in November mean just as much as the games in March and April. Rockets last year, they got off to that 5-10 start, and that was something they were fighting the entire year to try and make up, and they couldn't quite do it. So to get off to an 11-6 start, yeah, it's a huge freaking deal, and you just have to hope it continues. Utah's going to be a very different game. They can win it because certainly the Rockets beat the Jazz. Not a rout, but by close to 10 points in Houston. But you know, it's not going to be like the Portland game where Sunday night it was a very up and down game and that favored the Rockets. Ton of threes, ton of attacking. Jazz have a great rim protector in Rudy Gobert. I would imagine that just as they did in Houston, they're going to slow the game. It does help that Trevor Ariza and Ryan Anderson come into the game hot. Neither one of those guys shot that well when the Jazz visited Houston. So if they make their shots and they come into that game in Utah hot, potentially that is a big plus for the Rockets relative to how they played in Houston. But it's not going to be the same game. I would imagine the Jazz are going to be successful in terms of slowing the pace. And that in and of itself is going to make it more difficult than the resistance or lack thereof that the Rockets faced in Portland. But I'd say the Jazz, that's a 50-50 game. You hope for the best Tuesday night. But by and large, really, that's gravy. You have to focus on that Denver game. If you get that, you're 3-2. You come home 12-8. And if you're 12-8 after your first 20, with 14 to 20 being on the road, I think you're ecstatic. If you can somehow be 13-7, man, if you get to 13-7, if you can go, 4-1 on this road trip, I think maybe you start thinking less about it being a 50-win team and maybe, hey, maybe this can be a 55-win team and kind of push for maybe even a 3 seed if things go well. But again, I think that's a little aggressive. Certainly the Rockets, Sunday was probably one of their better games of the year when you look at, 56% from the field, 47% from three. So you don't want to get carried away just yet. However, the thing that's so much upside for the Rockets is that the players they did it with, when you see Clint Capela doing what he did, when you see Sam Dekker continue to play well off the bench, when you see Pat Beverley, although it wasn't a great shooting game for him, I do think defensively he had a lot to do with Damian Lillard's poor night from the field. Lillard was just 7 of 20, 2 of 8 from 3. You have to think that the Rockets are a team, a good candidate to get better throughout the year. So really, a lot of positive vibes. Rockets 11-6 on the season now, 2-0 for the road trip. They've got a big challenge on Tuesday, but Rockets fans, you've got close to 48 hours to get ready for that. For now, enjoy this win in Portland, especially given the Texans' performance earlier today. And on that note, I'm just going to wrap up this short post-game episode. Again, thanks to all of you for listening. I'm Ben Dubose. You can follow me on Twitter at Ben Dubose. This is Locked On Rockets. You can follow us on Twitter at Locked On Rockets. You can also subscribe to us at any of our feeds, iTunes, Audio Boom, Stitcher, Google Play, wherever you want to listen to your podcast, just type in Locked On Rockets and you can easily find us. And you can also email us at lockdownrockets@gmail.com if you've got questions for me or if you would like to inquire about becoming a sponsor of this rapidly growing program. Again, happy final from Portland. Rockets 130, Portland 114. Rockets now 11-6 on the year, 2-0 on the road trip. Back in action Tuesday night in Utah, and I'll be talking with you again before that game. Have a good night.